Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
When everyone wants to know the score, it's time for the sports page on Northern Community Radio. Good morning, Kyle and Fred.
Morning. Good morning.
First question is from a listener. I got it late last night. Crucial question, both of you. Why in the heck are both division playoffs in a different state? Why are they both in California? What is the reason behind that? Can either of you answer that exactly? Why were we able to play them in their hometowns and now it's got to go to a neutral site?
Good weather, no rain, decent temperature. Simple as that.
That's it?
Well, yeah, they have them on simple as that. They can't risk bad weather. And they can't have people in the stands, so they're going to do it in places that they know they're not going to have weather problems.
Kyle, what were you saying?
I'm sure they're trying to limit travel as much as possible well.
Yeah. All right, where do we want?
You got to have it five, John. You got to have it 5 days in a row. That means no travel.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, thanks for answering that question. And where do we want to start?
Well, you guys there's the good news, bad news of the Minnesota Vikings. The good news is that they're still in position to get a really high draft pick. The bad news is that they managed to win a game against a winless Houston Texans team, which jeopardizes their chance of getting the very top draft pick, which is assumed to be the quarterback from Clemson. What's his name? Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, Fred.
Hey, John, the Vikings are terrible. They're going to win four games. Time to move on. They don't have Hunter. He's not going to play all year. Their best defensive player.
Hunter's not going to play all year?
No. Nah. They drafted, according to his doctor says no, and his second opinion says don't do it.
Oh,
and his
boy.
Trainer says don't do it. Oh. And they draft a zillion cornerbacks, all of whom are very ordinary. And I keep saying it, I've said this for a zillion years, their offensive line is terrible, and they choose not to address it.
Yeah,
another team to root for, people.
Yeah, back in the days, Bud Grant made sure he had an offensive line, didn't he? Holy cow.
You
can just rattle
even
them
Mike
off.
Even Mike Tice did that. Exactly.
Old pencil.
But it's interesting to see. They gave Dalvin Cook, who is very possibly the best running back in the NFL, a nice contract extension. And he's a great talent. He's leading the NFL in rushing right now. He was the best player on the field in their win over Houston and in their loss the previous week where they choked the game away at the end. But the NFL isn't a running league anymore, and the Vikings have so many holes to plug, especially not just on the offensive line but on the defensive line as well, that I just kind of wonder about the wisdom of piling a bunch of money into an oft-injured running back's contract and knowing how much they're going to owe Kirk Cousins this year and the next, if that's going to hamper their ability to rebuild. I think we would probably all agree that once this contract is done, the Kirk Cousins experiment is over and they're going to find a different route to go.
Yeah, but you have to admit, we would be nowhere without Dalvin Cook. Nowhere.
Oh, yeah, he is the straw that stirs their drink, for sure.
And we have an exciting new receiver. Was it Jefferson? What's his name?
Justin Jefferson, their first-round draft pick, has blossomed very suddenly. He makes the routine catches. He has made some spectacular catches. Really good route runner for a rookie. And so there's hope, right?
Yes.
Assuming Nadeel Hunter can return
not.
From his injury
there's
next
not.
Year, they have
no,
some
not.
Really
Hang
good
on.
Pieces in place still. But man, they've got a lot of holes to fill too.
This sounds like the debate. Fred, you got the call. You got the floor.
There is no hope. They cannot protect any quarterback. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers or Joe Montana. And keep in mind, their Pro Football Focus, look it up, everybody, ranks their guards as the worst in the league and the fourth worst in the league. Their starting guards. Look it up.
Okay, so when teams struggle with offensive lines, they do the three-step drop and do quick hitters. We don't do that. And I don't quite understand. A lot of teams make adjustments, and they want to get it out of his hands sooner. Maybe he's just not able to get it out of his hands sooner. Maybe he can't see over the line. I don't know. But let's talk. Go ahead.
A lot of their offense is predicated on the success of Dalvin Cook and running play action passes off of that.
Yeah.
And again, if they want to do more of the quick slant, quick out, three-step drop stuff, then there's really no point to invest a bunch of money in Dalvin Cook because that the two just aren't really compatible.
So true.
I agree.
So true. Okay, let's talk about, I just read in the Minneapolis Tribune, 8 high school football games are already canceled. Why are we having high school football? I don't want to offend anybody. I think deeply about it. I think about if I was a parent. I think about if I was a football player, I would be deeply depressed that I couldn't play my senior year, et cetera. But high school football season, how are they going to pull it off?
They can't. It's too risky, John. It's too risky.
Yeah, that's just it. Simple fact. It's too risky. But yet the pressures that be, I don't know, but parents and coaches and, got the school to change things around, allow volleyball and football. And I just quite don't understand. And I'm not being negative here whatsoever. I played sports. I love it. It was a big influential thing in my life.
I think, John, and Fred and everyone, I think there's a deep desire to try to find some ways to get back to normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I don't agree with it, I understand it. I really feel where they're coming from. And, of course, the risk isn't so much to the high school athletes who are in a very, very low-risk category. But locally here, we've got a lot of students who live with older relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
We're going to be in contact with grandparents, and that's where the risk lies. And so it's part of that impossible act of balancing public health with, you don't want to see your kids miss out on 1 year of
their
high school experience. So I understand the pressure, but, man, for me, public safety's got to come first.
Yeah. In college football, I mean, I don't even know what's going on. How can you even have a top 25 when I don't even think 25 teams are playing, for crying out loud?
You can't. That's all about the presidents need to get the TV contract. That's all about money.
Yeah, when I saw East-West Chester State was ranked 7th, I knew we were in trouble. Hey, I want to go back to baseball for just a second. We touched base on this, and don't let me forget trivia. What the hell happened to the sacrifice bunt?
Kind of gone the way of the dodo bird, hasn't it? The game is all about big swings and home runs, and who cares if you strike out? And
who cares if you steal?
How about this? How about this? They invite you to bunt. They invite you just to drop the ball down the third base line, and they still don't do it.
Yeah, no.
Hey, I want to, guy John. I want to talk about the death of Bob Gibson. That's what I want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bob Gibson is one of 4 superstars who dominated the National League in the late 50s, 60s, and early 70s. Gibson, Koufax, Drysdale, and Marischal. You knew right off the bat they were all first-vote Hall of Famers. They weren't having 1 or 2 great years. They weren't Clayton Kershaw. They weren't Madison Bumgarner, who had 3 years, both of them. These were superstars who led their teams to World Series. And nobody was tougher, more competitive, or the last guy you wanted to face than Bob Gibson. A true leader, superstar, came out of Omaha Central High School, played for the Globetrotters, then went to baseball, as nasty as you can get. Here's a guy that got hit by a line drive by Roberto Clemente, broke his leg, finished that inning, and pitched the next day with a broken leg.
Fred, I remember being 11 years old with my small transistor radio, and at recess, I went and sat under a tree and listened to Bob Gibson. What, he fanned 17 or something? I can't remember what
that's right.
It was.
Here's
another tidbit from a senior correspondent. It says, in December 1960, 4 months before the Twins' first season in Minnesota, Calvin Griffin turned down a trade offer from the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals offered 3 players, Bob Schanz, including Bob Gibson, Shantz was a highly regarded veteran reliever. In fairness to Kelvin, at the time, Gibson had appeared in only 40 games, 19 as a relief pitcher, and his career record was 6-11. Kind of a fun to imagine Gibson pitching for the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. If you look at Gibson's career, his peak years, so say from 1962 to 1971, he won 15 games, 18 games, 19, 20, 21, 13, 22, 20, 23, 16, and 19 games.
Wow.
That is dominant.
I got to tell you, one more thing you guys don't know. His last game, he gave up a grand slammer to a journeyman for the Cubs named Pete Leacock. September 15th, he quit. 10 years later, in an old-timers game, you know what Gibson did? He drilled Leacock in the back. And nobody dared laugh.
So it separated by a lot of years, but boy, what would Bob Gibson do with Ronald Acuna Jr. from the Braves, who has made a habit of hitting home runs off of the Marlins and then showboating and bat flipping and then usually getting plunked in his next at bat? And I'm sure Mr. Gibson wouldn't take too kindly to that.
No.
There'd be an under the bleacher come to agreement is what we're if you know what I mean. So terrible.
I'm trying to find. I had Scott Hall's trivia questions, and now I cannot find them. Son of a gun!
Oh no!
Yeah, don't give up on me yet. I'm still searching. Talk amongst yourselves.
Ratings will plummet if we don't get the award-winning trivia segment in.
Kyle, you and I talked last night on electronically about there's a push by a lot of different interests, political, the journalists, football players, to put Curt Flood in the Hall of Fame, not so much because of his statistics, and he was a many-year all-star player for the center fielder for the Cardinals, but because he gave up his career to fight the reserve clause and the fact that they could trade a 10-12-year veteran without him having any say whatever. People mocked him. The owners went against him. They fought him. They badmouthed his lawyer. And as Gerrit Cole got signed by the Yankees this year, said when he got signed at his press conference, I want to thank 40 years ago, 50 years ago, Curt Flood, because if he hadn't given up his career, I wouldn't be making this kind of money. And that's the truth.
That great point, Fred. With free agency and a lot of other things wouldn't have happened without Flood. And it had to be somebody who had some credibility, some value in the game to do this, right? It couldn't be just some plugger journeyman. Flood was a 7-time Gold Glover, like you mentioned, Fred, 3-time All-Star, a 15-year career, and really, like you said, laid it on the line for the betterment of players who followed after him.
Yeah, gave up his career. So, hey, right now, so... next thing I think about, different facts, but Colin Kaepernick. I'll take him right now.
What? Boy, that's an amazing story, isn't it? Nobody. It's just crazy. Nobody's interested in it.
Fear, huh?
Fear.
Wrong.
Fear.
Yeah.
Absolute fear. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
where are the questions, John?
I don't know. I had them, and then Scott sent me this new update, and then I lost it. He sent me the new Bob Gibson update. So I am so sorry.
Hey, wait till next week, right? Will you find it in a week?
I will find it in a week. Let's just talk quickly. I know you don't know, Fred, you don't care, but sounds like the Wild are just getting rid of everybody on their team.
Oh, I saw that.
Unbelievable. Oh, here we go. This theme for this week is sports writers and writers. Probably give John or Kyle first dibs. Well, I can't because I have the answers in front of me. Who is the only author who has been elected to the American Academy of Arts and Letters and to the writers section of the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, I feel like this is going to be the Fred Freeman show.
My first guess is Roger Angel.
Oh, Fred, I think you... Yes, you're right. Angel turned 100 years old last week.
Oh, congratulations.
Roger Angel published 7 books of his collected baseball writings, including an account of the 1979 National League playoff between Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds. Who pitched the complete game victory for the Pirates in their pennant-clinching 7-1 win over the Reds that year, 1979? We're talking maybe...
Oh, my gosh. That's hard.
Is that...
I'll go with Steve Blass.
What about Doc's... What was Doc?
Doc Ellis?
Doc Ellis? Oh, my gosh. Bert, what, Kyle?
Bert Blyleven?
Yeah, it's Bert Blyleven.
Is it Blyleven?
Bert Blyleven, yeah. What critically acclaimed 1999 book by Laura Hildebrand was about a sports figure that captured the hearts of America in the 30s? It was made into an Oscar-nominated movie in 2003. Hint, if necessary.
Oh, I know this. It's Seabiscuit.
Yep. Good one. That was a good show. Confessions of a Last String Quarterback is the subtitle of a popular 1966 nonfiction book by a journalist who participated in the training camp for the Detroit Lions. Well, I know this one. Who is this, Fred? Or what is the title and who is the author? Go away, Kyle.
Oh, it's that British guy. What's his name, guys? I know he's English.
I knew this one.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say Paper Lion and George Plimpton.
Oh, George Plimpton, that's right.
Oh,
yep. Okay.
I have heard that name.
Yeah, back in the Alex Karras days. What late sports writer and former NPR commentator was named by his peers the National Sports Writer of the Year 6 times?
Ooh, first guess is Red Barber.
No. This guy was
sports writer.
This guy was
sportscaster or sports writer?
NPR commentator, sports writer and former NPR commentator. He had a show every week, a little 3-minute piece.
Don't know.
No idea.
Frank?
Oh, Frank DeFord.
There you go. John McAfee's 1965 book, A Sense of Where You Are, is a profile of what All-American basketball player?
65.
A Sense of Where You Are.
65. I don't know. Bill Bradley.
There you go. Yeah, who's one?
Oh, that's a great guess.
Gosh. What Philadelphia Athletics Hall of Fame pitcher in the 20s was sports writer Arthur Bugs Bear referring to when he said he could throw a lamb chop past a wolf? God.
It's got to be Lefty Grove.
Oh, you're right. Kyle, why don't you just sit down and relax? What sport is the subject of the song Fuji for Tin Horns? F-U-G-U-E? For Tin Horns.
Oh, yeah, fugue. Okay, it's horse racing. John, I'm going to teach you something. And Kyle, fugue is a famous musical composition term when you have three or more voices singing different verses at the same time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Fugue for a tin horn. First is invented by a first palette Hall of Famer named Amadeus Mozart.
Okay, last one.
Horse racing. It's from the famous musical, Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls,
starts.
Okay, Boys of Winter is the title of the 2000 book about what sports team?
Boys a winner. Don't know. Sounds like hockey.
Sounds like hockey. It is hockey. But what is it?
The Olympic team?
The U.S. beat the Russians?
Yep, 1980.
The miracle? Yeah.
Yep, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey. Boy, man, I'm exhausted. It's time to go home, go to bed.
That was sledding.
And Fred, are you being, put your hand up. Are you being honest? These are guesses, or are you just making us feel like
you're
like overly they're guessing.
I'm just making you feel bad. I know this stuff.
That's what I figured. Thanks, gentlemen. We'll see you next week.
All right. Take care, folks.
Bye.